Jesus.
The Ran in the very end of Maseches Pesachim quotes a medrash that tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu informed Knesset Yisrael that you're going to leave Eretz Mitzrayim, and Bnei Yisrael asked Moshe Rabbeinu exactly when would this occur, what exactly is its purpose. The purpose, of course, is Tavdun Es Elokim Al Har Hazeh, and when would this occur? The Tisbru Chamishim Yom, you'll count all the days of the Omer, and that will be the glorious moment of Kabbalah Satara. Even Tavdun Eselokim, Tavdun. Arizal writes Tavdu Nun and Avoda for the 50-day period in order to prepare for Kabbalah Satara itself. And there is a Ramban in this coming Shabbos Kriya Satara where the Ramban writes that that is the essence of Sfiras HaOmer, to be able to bridge that gap between Pesach and Shavuos. That one perhaps could think that Pesach and Shavuos are unrelated Yamim Tovim. So the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer clearly indicates one is obligated to link, one is obligated to bridge these particular days. And the Ramban writes in Parshas Emor that in a certain sense that Pesach is considered to be Yontif Rishon, Shavuos is considered to be the last days of Yontif, Yontif Achram. And the Ramban writes, V'hayamim hasurim bentayim harehin kecholo shamoed. And all the intermediate days have a status similar to that midaraisa, the Yemei HaSfira, are great days of simcha, days of joyous anticipation of Kabbalah Satora itself. There is a tshuva that Rav Adi Yosef has Nichavadas, is found in Chelak Aleph in Simen Chavdal, where he writes that when you look in Shulchanach, you find many Nihugi Avelus during the 3 weeks during the summer, between Shivasa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av, and he makes the simple comment that one cannot necessarily assume that all of those halachos apply during the Yemei HaSfira. There are elements of Avelos during Sfira, but its natural nature from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the great days of Simcha anticipating Kabbalah Satora. And the Ramban even goes as far as to assume that when you look throughout Shas, you find that Chazal always referred to Shavuos as Atzeres. Atzeres is a form of a conclusion. And he writes that that's something which is unusual. Shmini Atzeres, I understand. You have a yontif that has a significant duration of time. The concluding day is Atzeres. The same thing is true when it comes to the last day of Pesach. Shavuos, a single day midaraisa, and yet it's referred to by Chazal as Atzeres. The answer is because it is. It's the climax, it's the culmination of the yontif of Pesach. And the reason seems clear, and that is, what is it that we celebrate during Zman Cheruseinu? Cherus, from our point of view, is never an end in and of itself. It's not that, like in America, that freedom or emancipation is considered to be the end goal, but rather it's a means, it's an opportunity, it's a tool. And therefore, Cherus is only meaningful if one is able to channel that experience toward Kabbalah Satora. In fact, perhaps this is why we know that there's a mitzvah of simcha on each and every yontif. The Torah tells us, "Samata bechagecha." Of course, there's a mitzvah deraisa of simcha even when it comes to Pesach. But simply, when you look in Chumash, you don't find an emphasis of simcha during Pesach. There's no pasuk that mentions the "Samata bechagecha" in the context of Pesach. And perhaps this is part of the answer. Is there simcha? Of course. But it's not simcha in and of itself. It's simcha which one experiences almost retrospectively. And that is when we experience cherus, we use that and we channel it appropriately toward Kabbalah Satora. So therefore, now we can look back at the cherus, and that is considered to be a glorious opportunity of simcha. Not necessarily, though, at the time, but rather once that culminates in Kabbalah Satora itself. And that bridge between Pesach and Shavuos is considered to be critical. We've discussed in the past, the Machlokas are shown in the Tosos, Menachos, Daf Samach Vav. If a person misses a day of Sfira, can one continue to count? To the known sheet of Halachos Kedolos, when you miss a day, therefore the mitzvah now has come to an end. It's not that each day is absolutely positively independent, but rather the way the Sefer HaChinuch describes, one could interpret the Bahag in many different ways, but the Sefer HaChinuch in Shin Vav is though there is a single mitzvah to bridge the gap between Pesach and Shavuos. And that chain is only as strong as its weakest link, and therefore, if that chain is broken, so therefore, the mitzvah no longer applies. It's questionable whether indeed that is the view of Halachos Gadolos. Is it really one elongated mitzvah, and therefore, if you miss a day, you no longer continue to count because the mitzvah was rendered inappropriate from its very onset? It's a fascinating issue in Poskim. According to Bahag, a person misses a day. What happened to every bracha he recited up until now? Was it in any way, maybe b'shogeg ba'onis, but a bracha levatala? Or do I argue that even the Bahag maintains that there's a certain sense of independence? But this possibility of sphira as one mitzvah to bridge the gap, certainly that indicates the link between Pesach and Shavuos, which is something that I think is self-evident. You know, the Rambam writes that sphira sara bizman hazeh is a mitzvah daraisa. The Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tmidim Umusafim. Even without the Minchas Omer, without Pesach Mikdash, nonetheless, the mitzvah of sphira sara could survive. Question is, what exactly is the beer of this Shita Sarambam? But one possibility is exactly this point, and if the essence is to bridge that gap of Chirus and Kabbalah Satorah, that message resonates. It's very relevant even now, even without a Beis HaMikdash, even without a Minchas HaOmer, and hence one can experience the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer on a level of Daraisa, even Bizman HaZeh. You know, when we recite brachas on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, we don't recite a bracha of Shechiyonu. In the Rishonim debate, why exactly is that true? Is that only true here and now? Or was that always? Was that always the case? The Baal HaMor writes at the very end of Maseches Pesachim that, well, of course, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, he used to recite a bracha of Shechiyonu. But however, he writes, you can recite a Shechiyonu on a mitzvah d'oraisa. You can recite a Shechiyonu on Kriyas HaMegillah Ner Chanukah on a mitzvah d'rabanan, but a mitzvah that should be d'oraisa, which in the time of Churban is only a Zecher LaMikdash, so how can you recite a bracha of Shechiyonu on a Zecher LaMikdash? The Gemara writes, the Sukkah Daf Memvav, Shechiyonu is on a mitzvah Sheish Bo Simcha. Well, what is the Simcha Salev of counting Sfira Bizman HaZeh? The Baal HaMor writes, it's a mitzvah Sheish Bo Agmas Nefesh. And therefore, if it's a painful experience to count Sfira Bizman HaZeh, you can't recite a bracha of Shechiyonu. This, of course, is based on the Baal HaMor's view that Sfira Sara Bizman HaZeh is only Drabanan, only a Zecher LaMikdash, but not all the Rishonim agree. Mention the Rambam, that Sfira Somer is a mitzvah daraisa, Rabbi Nirucham, part of the Sfira Somer, a mitzvah daraisa. One would have to explain then, if it's min haTorah even bizman hazeh, how do you understand the omission of a bracha of Shechiyonu? So various possibilities. But both the Meiri and Rabbi Nirucham write that one is yotzei with the Shechiyonu of Yantif. The Yantif Shechiyonu covers Sfira Somer as well. What's fascinating is that if you look in the Meiri and Sachim and Av Zayin, the Meiri clearly is referring to the Shechiyonu of Pesach. After all, you're studying Shechiyonu and counting, so therefore, that covers. But when you look in Rabbi Nirucham, in the Siv Hei, he's not referring to Shechiyonu of Pesach, it's Shechiyonu of Shavuos. That the entire essence is to bridge the gap, preparation for Maman Arsinei Kabbalah Satorah, and therefore when that occurs, then one can now recite the bracha of Shechiyonu, but it's the Shechiyonu on Shavuos that covers, that exempts the Shechiyonu of Sfiras HaOmer itself. So a common theme that one finds in the Rishonim, the relationship between Pesach and Shavuos. In fact, that two korbanos, menachos, are brought, one on Pesach, one on Shavuos, that in many ways are very, very similar. The Minchas HaOmer and the Shtei HaLechem. But a noted distinction is that the Minchas HaOmer comes from Saorim, from barley, and the Shtei HaLechem comes from wheat, from chitin. And the Gemara explains that Saorim is animal fodder. That's Machal Behemah. Chitin typically is Machal Adam. And perhaps that's an indicator as well. See, when you speak of any type of salvation or relief from physical burden, that is not uniquely a human experience. Even an animal can sense that an animal is carrying a load and it's painful, and one relieves the animal of its burden, a mitzvah frika, one is obligated to do so. So chirus in the sense of physical freedom, that is something that even on a base level an animal can sense as well. Channeling and utilizing that chirus, honing in on the opportunity to be able to culminate in Kabbalah Satora, that obviously is uniquely our experience, and maybe that hints, that alludes to the transition of Saorim to Chitim, Machal Behema to Machal Adam as part of the continuous process of Sfira Saomer itself. I had mentioned the Gemara discusses the Menachos and Afsamachov, whether Sfira Saomer Bizmana is Daraisa, or whether it's only Darabana. The Gemara begins by citing the statement of Abai that there is a mitzvah, the Mimei Yomei, and a mitzvah, the Mimei Shavuot. You have to count days, and you have to count weeks. The Gemara says, Devei Rav Ashi, Mani Yomei, Umani Shavuot. So this is what obviously we have to do. But then the Gemara says that, no, Ameimar Mani Yomei, Velo Mani Shavuot. Ameimar used to only count days, not count weeks. Why? Because Zecher L'Mikdash. Zecher L'Mikdash. Ameimar Shita, that we do not follow, is that, look, Sfira Somer Bizmana Zeh is only a Zecher L'Mikdash, and as such, you don't have to perform the mitzvah with the same rigor as though it was a mitzvah daraisa. So it's enough as a zeichel mikdash to have a zeichel adav, a reminder. But you don't necessarily have to require all the rigorous detail lahalach. Now we disagree. We assume that it's essential to count days as well as weeks. Why do we disagree with that position of Amemar? See, Amemar is based on a dual premise. Number one, Sfira Zeichel HaMikdash. Number two, therefore, you can kind of cut corners. Why do we disagree? That's a fundamental machlokas Rishonim. See, Tosus maintains that the first premise of Amemar, Sfira is only a Zeichel HaMikdash, that everyone agrees. That's not the point of contention, that everyone agrees that Sfira Bizman HaZeh is Drabanan. The machlokas is point two. If something is a Zeichel HaMikdash, does that mean you have to replicate the act as though it was a full mitzvah? Or can one argue, since it's only a Zeichel HaMikdash, it's enough to have a reminder? You know, you're in a chasna and someone breaks the glass, and I'll say to them, did it have a shear? You know, you'll probably say, a shear? You know, this is not a mitzvah of Kiddush, a mitzvah of, this is a zeichel mikdash. Who says that the zeichel mikdash has to have all the detailed rigor lahalacha? Or maybe one could argue, no, a zeichel mikdash has to parallel the mitzvah. So the Gaon writes, in the Siman HaSfira Somer Tav Pei Tes, that is indeed the machlokes. To what extent does a Zeichel HaMikdash have to mimic, has to copy the mitzvah Bishleimusa? That's a critical issue because there are other cases of a Zeichel HaMikdash as well. No? Other cases. Netilas Lulav, Shar Yemei HaChag is only a Zeichel HaMikdash. So one could raise the issue. To what extent are all the details of Netilah and the Psulei Hadar and Dalet Minim applicable to the balance of Yantif, no? Lachem, I understand. The Pasuk says, L'chachtam lachem b'yom rishon. Lachem is necessary on day one. But what about all the other cases? Yes, significant machlokas rishonim. Maybe the starting point is as follows. Good, it's a zeichel mikdash. But to what extent does a zeichel mikdash have to parallel the mitzvah daraisa? So according to Tosos, according to the Gaon, you know, that's exactly this question. Sphere is a zeichel mikdash. And to what extent is every detail of Sfira required today, as it is, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim? You know, the Netziv writes a very fascinating Chiddush that why isn't it the Seder that we have Urchatz? Why exactly do we do that? The Netziv writes there are many things that we do with the Seder, which is a Zeichel HaMikdash. A Zeichel HaMikdash. Urchatz is a Zeichel HaMikdash because Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim, one would have to wash even now for dipping a vegetable in liquid, Tibula Mamashke. And therefore, what we're doing is a Zeichel HaMikdash. So it's a fascinating deal in Achronim. Urchatz, to what extent does that have all the Dinei Netilas Yadayim, all the halachos of Shir and Chatzitza? Or do you argue, look, it's only a Zeichel HaMikdash, and therefore, you know, it's enough to go ahead and to wash, but not necessarily every single detail. But can I say, Mikra Kodesh is a starting point in assessing this issue. All the Dinei Netilas Yadayim, do they apply to Urchatz at the Seder? His starting point is Menachos Samachov, Machlokas Rishonim regarding Sfira Saomer. Because the Rambam understands the Gemara differently. Amimar says, Svirab is manazayat rabbanon, and therefore it's enough to do part, you don't have to do all. We disagree. The Rambam says, you know what, we disagree, because we hold the Svirab Somer is deraisa. If Svirab Somer was a Zeichel HaMikdash, maybe we'd agree. But a Zeichel HaMikdash does not require all the rigor, all the detail. But the reason we maintain, insist, that you have to come days and weeks, the Rambam writes, is because Svirab Somer is a mitzvah daraisa. So according to the Rambam Shita, there's no proof from the Gemara that a Zeichel HaMikdash has to absolutely replicate Sfiras daraisa. But according to Tosas Shita, that Sfira is only derabanan, and yet we perform the mitzvah as though it was. So an indicator from the Gemara then that even a Zeichel HaMikdash has to be done as though it was a mitzvah b'shlemusa. So the Rambam Shita, that Sfira Somer b'zmanas as daraisa, Tosas Shita, that Sfira Somer b'zmanas as only derabanan, Rabbi Yerucham calls a fascinating split. Fascinating split. As mentioned, the Gemara tells us you have to count days, and you also have to count weeks. Rabbi Yerucham writes, if you look in the coming Shabbos as Kriya Satorah, as you'll find something stunning, and the same if you look in Parshas Re'eh, and that is when it comes to counting the days of the Omer, the Torah does not make that connection of Minchas Omer and counting days. When it comes to counting the weeks of the Omer, that's where you find that connection. Miyom haviyachem es Omer ha-tnufa, minchas Omer, sheva shavosos timos tihiyena. When it comes to counting days, tisbru chamishim yom. Rabbi Yerucham writes a fascinating diuk in the pasuk, and that is that counting days is independent, counting weeks is linked to the minchas Omer. And Rabbi Yerucham writes the following, that Sfiras Omer, Daraisa, Zeichel HaMikdash, the answer is part yes and part yes. Now that counting days, that's a mitzvah Daraisa b'zman hazeh. But counting weeks is only a Zeichel HaMikdash. That's Rabbi Yerucham's split. It's interesting, he doesn't explain why, but he writes that it's evident from the Pesukim. And Rabbi Yerucham goes a step further. He raises the following question, that why is it that we don't recite two brachos on Sfiras Omer? That's his question. If there's a mitzvah to count days and a mitzvah to count weeks, so why is it that only one bracha is indeed recited? So Rabbi Yerucham writes a surprising answer, that Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, they used to recite two brachos on Sfiras Omer, counting days and counting weeks, in order to indicate the independence. However, Bizman Hazeh, counting days is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and counting weeks is only a Zeichel HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yerucham writes, on a Zeichel HaMikdash, you don't recite a bracha. In other words, according to Rabbi Yerucham, the bracha we recite is only on counting days, it is not on counting weeks. One could have given a simpler answer, and that is that the single bracha of Sfiras Omer encompasses both elements, counting days as well as counting weeks. Not that the bracha is only on one. Why is only one bracha? Maybe this is not so uncommon. You know, tefillin, for example. The Rambam writes two separate mitzvahs, the tefillah shayat, tefillah sharosh, but yet the Rambam shita is a single bracha. A single bracha. Because sometimes if there's commonality between even two independent mitzvahs, a single bracha could be recited. That's the Rambam shita. You know, our practice, like Tosas, that we recite two brachos on tefillin, it's not because they're two different mitzvahs. It's clear that Tosos and brachos, the samach and beis, Tosos says two different brachos, even if one only puts on, for example, the tefillah sharosh. Right? It's not because one is on the yad and one is on the rosh. Tosos, who says two even on sharosh. And the Rambam, who says one, the Rambam is the one in Sefer Mitzvahs that counts tefillin as two separate mitzvahs. We've discussed in the past a fascinating diyun in the Rambam. You go through just a short series of halachos, and you recognize that there's a challenge as to what the Rambam considers in Sefer Mitzvahs as one mitzvah, what the Rambam considers as two different mitzvahs. Not so clear. Mitzvah Yud is the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. One mitzvah. One mitzvah. So recite Kriya Shema twice a day. V'shachpo v'kumecha. The Ramban writes, and then the Sefer Mitzvahs. I would have said two separate mitzvahs. What does Kriya Shema Shalarvis have to do with Kriya Shema Shoshachris, they're completely independent mitzvahs. Ramban writes there should be two. The Rambam writes it's only one. That's mitzvah Yud. Interesting chiddush. Then you get to the Rambam writes and mitzvah Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Tefillin, two separate mitzvahs, Tefillah Shriyah, Tefillah Shorosh, because they're in Makfid, Zeh, and therefore two separate mitzvahs. Mitzvah Yadala, the Rambam writes, is Tzitzis. The Rambam writes, Tcheles and Lavan are in Makfid, Zeh, and Tzitzis is only one. It's a fascinating deal in the Rambam Shita. Why is Kriya Shema one? Why is Tefillin two? Why is Tzitzis one? There are many other cases in the Rambam as well to try to come up with an appropriate answer, an appropriate pattern to understand the Rambam Shita. But just because something is two separate mitzvot, it doesn't necessarily mean they're two separate brachas. And Tefillin is a classic model. So I would have argued that the bracha on Sfiras HaOmer encompasses both, but Rabbi Yerucham disagrees. Rabbi Yerucham maintains that no, the bracha is only on counting days, it's not on counting weeks at all. In fact, there is a known shuvas Beis Halevi that we generally don't paskin like. It's found in Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Tes, where the Beis Halevi discusses, you know, I mentioned earlier, the sheet of Halachos Gedolos, not today, no longer continue to count. So a person goes that misses, right, day 22, so he no longer continues to count with a bracha, I understand. What about when he comes to day 28? Is he able to count that with a bracha? Because it is a fascinating machlokas rishonim that when I say there's a mitzvah to count weeks, what exactly does that mean, a mitzvah to count weeks? That's a machlokas, the Rambam, and the Rai, the Balamor. What exactly does that mean? Everyone agrees there's a mitzvah to count weeks on 7, 14, 21, 28. Is there a mitzvah today to count weeks? No, to say it's the 22nd day, which is 3 weeks and 1 day. Is that the mitzvah of counting weeks to break down the calculation on a daily basis into weeks? Or do I argue, no, it's only on the even ends that is the mitzvah of counting weeks? So the baseline is suggested, look, then I understand it's machlokas or shonen, but a good, at least on those days, on the 21, 28, allow for a bracha to be recited, even if you missed the counting of the days itself. The baseline writes, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, that's impossible, because you never make a bracha on counting weeks. Weeks is only a zeich l'mikdash, bracha is only on counting days. But he writes, we don't pasuk like Rabbeinu Yerucham. We pasuk like Rov or shonen, that Sfir is either a mitzvah d'araisa the Rambam or it's a mitzvah d'rabanan tosus, but the mitzvah d'araisa, the mitzvah d'rabanan is both days and weeks. Therefore, he writes a chiddush. You miss an intermediate day, you can still make a bracha on the counting of the weeks itself. We don't ask him like that, based on behavior, but it's a fascinating possibility that he mentions within the view of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham's distinction. You know, you look in the psukim. Yeah, it seems to come to life. That certainly is true. That days the Torah links to the Minchas HaOmer, no, that's independent, but weeks, yes. That is where there is that relationship. You know, if I were to ask you the following, like, why? You know, I see it. You know, you look in the Pesukim, Emor Re'eh, it's true, but why is that the case? Why should the days be independent? And why should the weeks be linked to Beis HaMikdash? Why exactly should that be true? You know, you have to be careful when you ask the why question. You know? Much of Lamdus is the what question, no? Like the Hagdara. No? Why? You know, we're not always privy to why. You know, like if you look in the Or Sameach and Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tmimus Apim, he quotes the sheet of Rabbeinu Yerucham that counting days a mitzvah d'araisa, counting weeks is only HaMikdash. And if you look at the psukim, it seems indeed to support fasting the yukim. Why is this true? Why should one distinguish? The Rosh Hashanah begins by saying, I guess it's a gzeiras hamelech, no? Like, okay, that's the observation. But why? Hard to know exactly. And then the Rosh Hashanah continues and writes, however, like, Sod Hashem liyareyav, right? You know, you look in a Gemara, Rosh Hashanah daf, hey, he says the answer comes to life. The why question is easily resolved. He writes the following. Let's say Rosh Chodesh. You know, if a person were to ask me, when is Rosh Chodesh? I would have thought, you know, the Mola, So look, any time before the Molad Halavana is the previous month. And any time after the Molad Halavana is the coming month. So when exactly is Rosh Chodesh? I would have argued, if I didn't like have any other reason, I would argue midday. No? The Gemara says, no, it can't be. Pasuk, no? Chodesh Yamim. No? Chodesh is divided into days, not into hours. No? We'll announce the time of the Molad. We'll get it really accurate, no, to the very last Chelek, but that doesn't determine exactly the turning point between one month and another. Because Chodesh Yamim, the Gemara says, Mnei Yamim v'Kadesh Chodesh. That you have to count days. And then you have Rosh Chodesh. The unit, of course, is days. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah Dafe, that Mnei Yamim v'Kadesh Atzeres. You have to count the days of Sfira, and now you can go ahead and declare that the Yantif HaShavuos. Yantif HaShavuos is remarkably unique, that it exclusively is not linked to a calendar date. No? But, Mnei Yamim V'Kadesh Atzeres. When does Shavuos fall out? The answer is, Tisbru Chamishim Yom. And regardless of whether the months of Nisan, Siv, are Malay, Chaser, Iyar, it doesn't matter, no? Like, Tisbru Chamishim Yom. So, you count days, and you're Mekadesh, the Yantif of Atzeres. So the Gemara raises the following question. You count days in order to go ahead and to establish the Yantif of Atzeres. The Gemara says there's only a mitzvah of counting days. You also count weeks. So why is that necessary exactly? Now, you count days in order to consecrate Shavuos, but mitzvah nene yomei, or mitzvah nene shavuot. So the Gemara says something remarkable, that, yeah, you count days and you count weeks. You count days in order to consecrate, to establish the day of Shavuos. And you count weeks in order to consecrate, to create the week of Shavuos. There's a day of Shavuos, there's a week of Shavuos. There's a day of Shavuos, there's a week of Shavuos. Rosh Hashanah Pei. If I were to say to you, there's a week of Pesach, sounds good. No, there's a week of Pesach. No, there's a week of Sukkot, sounds good. There's a week of Sukkot, and yeah, Shmini Atzeres is like a regular B'fnei Atzmo. There's a week of Shavuos, a week of Shavuos. No? You tell your friend, you're going for Shavuos, you come back a week later, like a week of Shavuos. What exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says, well, of course there's a week of Shavuos. No? A person doesn't offer a Karban Chagiga at the beginning of Pesach. He has a week to, of course he has a week to do it. It's Yom Tov. No? A person doesn't offer a Karban Chagiga to answer the Sukkot. He has a week to go ahead and do so. Of course. A person doesn't offer the Chagiga HaRegel on the day of Shavuos. He has a week to offer the Karban Chagiga. That's like remarkable. A week. It's no longer Yom Tov. No. The answer is, it is. There's a day of Shavuos, and there's a week of Shavuos. The day of Shavuos expresses itself in everything, no? And in Nisr Malacha, and in Tefillah, and in Kiddush, and in Kavod, and in Oneg, and the Essay of Shavasan. I'm good. No, Mikra Kodesh. There's a week of Shavuos. What is the significance of a week of Shavuos? You'll tell somebody, this is the week of Shavuos. They'll say, a week as far as the Karban HaRega. The Karban HaRega, as far as the Karban Chagiga is concerned. No? It's kind of remarkable. We count days, we count weeks, because a day of Shavuos, a week of Shavuos, and both Midaraisa are manifest. That's something unusual. Now, if I ask you, the day of Shavuos, is that relevant? Does Man Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam Begvulin? Of course. The week of Shavuos, does that have any manifestation Midaraisa without a Beis? No. The week of Shavuos is only limited to Mikdash. Oh, so, yeah, now you look back in the Psukim, the Torah links, right, the week of Shavuos with Mikdash, not the day of Shavuos. And now Rabbi Rukum Shikla comes to life. The mitzvah of counting days is a mitzvah daraisa, even Bizman Shem Beis HaMikdash Kayam. But counting weeks, that's only a zeh shel hamikdash, because the week of Shavuos is only relevant in the Mikdash Hashem. Something that takes a chok and makes it pashut pshat. That's pretty remarkable, no? But that's the beer of the Rosh Sameach. He thinks it's a gemara b'foreshes in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Hei, and that's the shita of Rabbein Yeruchim. It's something which is, incredibly, incredibly striking. But three shitas in Rosh Hashanah. What's Daraisa? What's Darabanan? And the fascinating split of the shita of Rabbein Yeruchim. I had mentioned that Sfiras Arami Ikar Hadin, days of great simcha, joyous anticipation of Kabbalah Satara. And yet, as you know, the Gemara Yevamos Naf Samach says that these days were transformed because of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara describes that 24,000 Talmidim Umesu Kulam Beperek Echad Al Shonago Kavod Zavazeh, that all of them perished during this window of time. The Gemara writes, you have to recognize that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they were the Bali Masalra, they were the Matike Shmua, they were the ones who were going to perpetuate our Masalra. And their demise was catastrophic, not only individually, but even in terms of the Mesira Satara itself. The Gemara says in a very literal sense that Bahaya Ha'olam Shamein, the world was in desolation. Until Rabbi Akiva regrouped the incredible resiliency of Rabbi Akiva to be able to experience that loss, but yet to go in to regroup and to cultivate a new generation of Talmidim. Hard for us to imagine what exactly that means. Al shanago kavod zelazeh. You know, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaktek betzadik and kachut asara. These Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were the ones who were destined to be the bearers of the Balei Masorah, and that was an indictment. And therefore, it was necessary to raise a new generation of Talmidim who would emerge as being the loyal, the true Talmidei Rabbi Akiva in order to go in to perpetuate that Masorah. The Gemara tells us who were the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. If you look in Koheles Rabbah and Parsha Yud Aleph, there it adds Rabbi Nechemiah as being one of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Seinu, Shebedaram. There the Medrash writes that when Rabbi Akiva approached the new Talmidim, he turned to them and said, Atem lo tiyu kamosam, that I will teach you the Torah as Hashem, that you can't be guilty of what I experienced with the earlier Talmidim. They were not Noe Kavo. That was a precondition for excellence in terms of Limud HaTorah. The Orach Chaim writes in Parshas Yisro, in Perek Yotes, that Ish Echad B'Lev Echad is not just simply an observation, but it's a precondition for Kabbalah HaTorah. Without that, Knesset Yisro would not have been worthy of receiving the Torah Hashem, because that sense of Achdus and harmony is critical in order to be able to experience Kabbalah Satorah. And Rabbi Akiva, the Yerushalmi, be'hafta l'recha kamocha, that was Rabbi Akiva's klal gadol b'Torah. And yet, l'fi madrigos and the deficiency of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Rav Asher Weiss has often pointed out that, you know, when you look throughout Chazal, there's so many Amarei Chazal stressing the primacy of Ben Adam L'Chavera, especially by these new Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir is the one who was the Bala Memra that Kol HaMavarech Es Yisrael, Kim Mavarech Es Hashem, a bracha to a member of Knesset Yisrael is like a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says Kol HaMakabel Pnei Chavera, Kim HaMakabel Pnei Hashchina. And Rabbi Yossi says in Shabbos Kuf Yerches Miyamai, well, Avarti al divrei chavera, it never occurred that I ever breached any of the teachings of any of my colleagues. Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that Noach laladam shiaspe osasma lekiv shaneish v'yalbam pnei chavero berabim. Better give up your life than embarrass anyone. You know, Shas is full of these mamari chazal of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva in order to emphasize the prominence of. These were the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva who practiced in the most overt sense of the Avda L'Reacha Kamocha. If you look at the Gemara Sanhedrin Peivav, right, there's something amazing. The Gemara tells us, you know, often, we have a Stam Mishnah, no? So, what is a Stam Mishnah? The Gemara says a Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was the Bala Menna. In his Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehud, and the Stam Sifri is Rabbi Shimon, and the Stam Tosefta is Rabbi Nehemiah, no? And Vekula Maliba the Rabbi Akiva, no? They were all the Rabbi Seinu Shavidarim. They were all like this handful of Talmidim. No? Not only did Rabbi Akiva rebuild, but these Gedolei HaTanaim emerged as being the Balei Masorah, the Matike Shmua. And that's the significance of this time as well. There's a comment of the Meiri, there in Yevamos Nav Samach Beis, that, you know, the Shulchan Aruch writes that there are elements of Simcha and Lag Ba'Omer. And what exactly is that Simcha? So the Meiri writes, Poska HaMagefa. That's when the Magefa, the Misas, Tamid Rabbi Akiva came to an end. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in the Pre-Chadash, Tav Tzadik Gimel, Bichadash raises a pretty, like, frightening kasha. And he writes, you know, like, Rachman al-Islam, you experience some type of plague, a magefa. Many perish, but many survive. When the magefa comes to an end, it's a reason to celebrate. So you celebrate the fact that the Mises Rabbi Akiva came to an end, the Talmid Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that Vahia Olam Shamed, that no one was left. No, it's not that the Magefa came to an end as much as all of the Talmidim had perished. It's a kasha, the Pre-Chadash, and Tav Tzadik Gimel. It's unusual to celebrate. Not after all, that if no one survives, you celebrate the fact that. How could that be? It's interesting that the Pre-Chadash writes that it was the day of Lag Ba'Omer. Whereas the Gemara says that Halach Rabbi Akiva Ezer Rabbi Seinu Shabbatar V'Shalayim, that was the time of the resiliency when Rabbi Akiva regrouped in order to go in to disseminate the Hos Hashem, and that his chadshus is what one celebrates at the time of Lag BaOmer itself. You know, there's a common theme. It's found in Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Chiddushei Harim and others that there is a link between what we have in Perek Vavos, the Brice of Kinyan Torah, the Memches Dram Shatar Niknes, and the Yemei Hasir. But if the purpose of Sfiras Omer is a Hachana for Kabbalah's HaTorah, so therefore, well, if the Torah tells us this is the way that you acquire the Torah Sashem, the Kinyanei Torah, so very reasonable that indeed there should be a correspondence. There should be an absolute correspondence between them. You know, it's not just the slogans in Maseches Avos. No, it's the Brisa that tells us these are the Memches Dvarim. These are the Memches Dvarim. No, a person wants to get married. So, Isha Niknesh Gimel Drachim. No, the person will say, you know, I want to marry in a different way. You're going to say, no, it's only Keser Shtar and Bia. No, the Amishna. No. The Mishnah to be Kone Torah. These are the ways you have to go and do Selachas and Yishrei. Just like in Kedushin, it's not that there are other options. Like these are the ways that you acquire. And their Mesorah was that there was like a one-to-one correspondence. Every day had its theme, its particular Midah, and that was highlighted by the particular day. Like every day had its particular mission, its Midah, its Kenyan. You know, when you count and you look at the Memches Dvarim and you continue, when you get to Lag BaOmer, right, the Midah, the Kenyan of Lag BaOmer, Kenyanei Torah, is Ohev HaSabriyot. That's the Kenyan of Lag BaOmer, of Halach Rabboseinu, Rabbi Akiva Eitzer Rabboseinu, Shebedarim. It's an amazing correlation. You know, I've often wondered that if it was so evident, it's so obvious that there is a relationship between Kinyanei Torah and the Yemei HaSfira, you know, it would have been something that would have been maybe even more potent and more obvious, more evident, had there been one more Kinyan, had there been kind of 49, you know, and 49 days of Sfira and 49 Kinyanim, like everything would have flowed seamlessly, no? You know, you go to a Shavuot Brachos and you hear a gematria and it's like one off. You know, like, you know, if it was true, like, you know, everything the halach is so exact, you know, so exacting, you know. Okay, you know, so, so you kind of wonder if that really is true. You look in like the earlier, you know, Biurim, it's, you know, that it places you on Erev Shavuos, the threshold of Kabbalah Satorah, and that already, you know, requires a broader Chazara. But at the end of the day, you know, something is wanting as to why is it that there's Memches and Memtes. And perhaps what I think is a viable answer is as follows. There's a fascinating Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin of days that tells us that Ma Yasa Odom V'Yechkam. And I always tell this to my Talmidim, that what do you have to do to excel in the Torah session? How do you acquire the Torah session? So the Gemara says, look, that Yarba B'Yeshiva V'Yimayit B'Shod. You really have to walk the walk. You have to do it. No? You want to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to learn. It's not going to come, you know, by itself. It requires that a person has to learn with Asmada, a person has to learn with Amelus, a person has to recognize that immense effort is required, right? And it requires to focus. Like, the day has to be enveloped by Limud HaTorah. You have to view that as the component of the day. I've often mentioned, like, a mashal, when it comes to Hilchos Brachos, when two things are equal, you want to decide whether to make a bracha of ha'eitz or a bracha of adama. So when you have two equal minim, so the robe is the kovei. The robe is the kovei. When you're dealing with something which is a davar chashuv, for example, like mini dagon, so you learn an important lesson that even if quantitatively it is clearly a minority, but nonetheless that is considered to be the primary ingredient. And that, I will tell you, is very, very true. And sometimes in the balance of the day, when you speak about what the Gemara says, schora in yeshiva, no? How much time can you devote to learning, and how much time do you have to devote to pursuit of parnasa? There almost seems to be kind of an imbalance. No? You know, you try to steal away time for, you know, a couple hours in the morning, a couple hours at night for learning, but, you know, but the lesson I would tell you, Birchas HaNenin, is that something can be the primary davar chashuv, even if quantitatively, right, it's not necessarily given the equal time, because it's a mindset, it's an existence. And therefore, ma yasa lam yasa means it's simply, yarbe b'yishim. So the Gemara tells us something striking, that harbe asu v'lo asu b'yadam. Many did that, they weren't successful. They really, like, devoted a significant time to limud HaTorah, and they weren't matzliach. So how can that be? No. Yarbe b'yishiva, and yet, lo also the other. How can that be? The Gemara answers, because there's one more ingredient. There's one more ingredient. No? The Gemara says that yevake shemi shachach mishalom. You have to be mispalo. You have to be mispalo for siyata d'shrayim. In other words, that excellence in learning requires a confluence of two elements, and neither one is sufficient. Neither one is sufficient. Yarba b'yeshiva, but yevake shmi shachach mashalo, and the Gemara concludes, hab lo halosan. Neither one alone is enough. Both are necessary, but they're not sufficient. If the person will just daven for chachma, that's not enough. You have to be osik in the Torah Hashem. But a person will only learn without tefillah, a person is not going to be successful in amassing the Torah Hashem. It requires both. It requires both elements. Each one is considered to be that which is absolutely critical. In other words, that in order for a person to attain, for a person to accomplish, for a person to reach that goal of Kabbalah Satorah, it requires that a person has to be mishtadel. You have to exert intense effort, but you also have to be mispan. No, not so hard. There are two words. That's the mission statement in life, no? You think that your success is going to be a result of your hishtadlus? No. Hishtadlus means you position yourself. You have to mispalo for siyata d'shmai in every facet of life. And hoblo holo sagi. It's not enough just to be mispalo, but it's not enough to be just mishtadl. Both elements clearly are considered to be necessary. It's like the Rambam writes about nevuah, that a person works on self-perfection, but whether you become an avi, so that, I think, is proud of the profundity of of the gap. That I think is critical. No. In other words, a person is mishtadl, and the hishtadlus for Kabbalah Satorah are the memcheskin. And a person will do all of that, but it positions yourself. But you're not quite there. Huh? You're climbing a ladder of 49 rungs, and you climb 48. All of a sudden, you see that the last rung is missing. And there's no way you can transverse. There's no way you can reach that pinnacle, no? Other than Siyata Dishmaya. And you have to recognize that as much as a person does, it's not up to you. It's not up to you. There couldn't be 49 kinyan. See, 49 kinyan would indicate as though that, you know, that as long as you do A, B, C, and D, you're there. And that's not true. That's not true in terms of our Hashkafa session. Now, you do everything you can, you position yourself. But you need the Siyata Dishmaya in everything in life to be able to take you to that next level in order to see to it that all of the efforts are met with appropriate Siyata Dishmaya. That requires a person is Mishnadel, but a person is Mispala. There must be a gap in order to recognize that all of this. The Gon writes, Rochem Elojna writes, that that's the meaning of the Gemara, Yagati Umatsasi. It means with all the Yagiyah, right? If a person reaches any point of accomplishment, it's not because that you've earned, because you deserved, but rather as a mitzia, you've found, you position yourself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants you a gift. But you have to recognize that success in life is a gift. It's not something which is guaranteed, and it's not a result of kochi v'otzemiyot. No, that's necessary, but it's not sufficient. And I would tell you that's probably one of the most profound lessons of the Yimei HaSfira. A person has to engage in all aspects of Hachana, but recognize the personal Hachana will get you to a point, and you have to recognize it's only the Siyata Dishmaya that will reach that particular goal. It's an important mindset as well. You know, in life it's always important to have goals. That's critically, critically important. But recognize we don't control the attainment of the goals. No, we control in life just each other. No? You have to position yourself. Whether a person reaches that goal, whether a person does not reach the goal, that's a function of Siyata Dishmaya. It's true in Esek V'Torah, it's true, I would tell you, in every aspect of life. And that, I would tell you, I think, is profoundly why Chazal meticulously recognized that there has to be a gap between the Hachana in the absolute moment of Kabbalah Satar itself, because Harbi Yosu, that it requires that shilu, that combination, that synthesis, the confluence of amelus and yishtadlus and the koach hatfilah, in order for a person to be able to reach any goal, and especially in terms of aspects of Kabbalah Satan. But this, I will tell you, is part of the critical aspect of Sfiras Omer. Position yourself to be zochet to Kabbalah Sator, the lesson of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, that it requires not only amelos, but it requires that commitment to ben adam lechavero as well. And as Ramban writes, that when that is accomplished, then retrospectively, the Zman Cheirus Seinu comes to life, because it's not the Cheirus in and of itself that we celebrate, but rather the opportunity of Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Ela Mishael Sefet. Okay.